It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
On the line is the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. And be sure to listen to the You Better You Bet podcast for more analysis. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you find your podcasts.
Oh, Nick Costos. Guess what? Our Cleveland Cavaliers are 13-0.
Oh, they're awesome, man. Great to be on with you guys today. I did bet the Sixers last night just to cover. I like the spot for Philly without Embiid and Paul George. Just thought you'd get their best effort. But, yeah, no surprise that the Cavs won. Kenny Atkinson, the big-time favorite for Coach of the Year. And the Cavs looking like definitely one of, like, the three, four best teams in the NBA thus far this season.
How far can they go with this winning streak? What do you think?
Okay, so winning streak, we can, like, look at the schedule and we can see, like, what they've got
Boston
coming up.
Boston next
here.
Tuesday is the one that they have two home games, and then they have Boston next Tuesday.
And that's an NBA Cup game against Boston, right?
Oh,
and,
I should have known. Wow.
Well,
yeah, you're
well,
right.
I mean, like, which matters, and for people that want to bet this stuff, Boston was a big favorite to win their group in the NBA Cup. Like, the Cavs were not the favorite. The Celtics were. And in night one of the NBA Cup on Tuesday, the Cavaliers obviously won, and the Celtics lost at home to the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, we're going to get that cup, baby.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not insinuating like people should care about this. Like, I think it's kind of cool, but yeah, just like that is a little added wrinkle to this game. So the Cavaliers' schedule coming up. Let's see what they've got. Okay, so they have the Bulls tomorrow night at the Bulls. You'd think that should at home. That should be a win.
And Charlotte.
Hornets on Sunday should be a win. Yeah, I think like at the Celtics would be the next one. The Pelicans are really injured. They should be able to beat the Pelicans next week. Host the Raptors. The Raptors are tanking. Home and home against the Hawks. I mean, Atlanta could feasibly get them. Yeah, like this could stretch up close to 20-0, I think, for the Cavaliers. So it's been really, really good. I don't want to say I'm super surprised. I did bet Atkinson to win Coach of the Year before the season started. I bet over 48.5 wins. I thought this was going to be like, let's say, like a 52-win team, like 52-30, something like that. I did not expect this. So this is obviously like way performing expectations thus far.
They go 500 the rest of the way. You win your bet. Right.
Yeah, like they've been great, and like Atkinson again, like looks really good for Coach of the Year right now. I will say, and I have this plan to do on my show later. I don't know if I want to say that the Cavaliers are like going to win the Eastern Conference yet. Obviously, like Boston is still going to be the favorite there, and just looking at the odds board, the Knicks are actually the second choice on the odds board to win the East. And Cavs fans might hear that and say, "Well, like how the hell is that possible?" Like the Knicks just lost last night to the Bulls. The Cavs are undefeated. I think this is generally how bettors work, especially guys in the NBA, where and the Cavs have really only had in this run, right, with this core, like two playoff series, right? Like lost in the first round to the Knicks a couple years ago, beat the Magic in seven last year in the first round, and then got like they obliterated by the Celtics in the second round. Like you usually need to fail like a good amount before you win. Like before you like reach the ultimate destination. And I think bettors are a little skeptical, not in Cleveland's ability to win like 58 regular season games. I think people think like that they're really awesome. Like that could be the case. But when it comes down to it in the postseason, like Mitchell's the only guy that really has the experience. And I know like guys got playoff reps last year, but like not really deep in the playoffs. And that kind of stuff matters in the NBA. That's been historically proven out. So I think that there is going to be some skepticism that the Cavs can get to the NBA finals, win the NBA Finals, and that's probably a good thing for the team to use that as motivation. Atkinson keeps talking about, guys, the chip on the shoulder of this team. I think they're going to have that the whole season because no matter how this regular season goes, I think that sports bettors, pundits in the media will still say it's the Celtics in the East.
And even though Donovan Mitchell does have playoff experience, Nick, it's not going deep in the playoffs, so that's an area that he has to adapt to as well. So I think they have the chance to do that. What are the odds saying for NBA championship for Cavs? What's that?
So here's where we're at with NBA. For the Cavs to win the title, 16-1.
And how many teams are ahead of them?
Yeah, so for context, they are tied with Phoenix right now on the odds board, and the Suns have had a great start to the season. Durant's injured right now, but the Suns have had a great start to the season. So two Eastern Conference teams, are ahead of the Cavs, the Celtics, and the Knicks. The Celtics are the favorite to win the title. The Knicks are the third choice to win the title. So this is the betting market saying that the East has two of the best three teams, and then it's a lot of teams in the West. Oklahoma City is the second choice overall and the top pick in the West, plus 550. Then you have Dallas at plus 800, same odds as the Knicks. Denver with Jokic, who's playing out of his mind again. The Timberwolves also. So Celtics, Thunder, Knicks, Mavericks, Nuggets, Wolves, all ahead of the Cleveland Cavaliers right now to win the NBA championship.
Wow. Is that you think that's legit? Would you put them there?
Well, I think that something to consider is like, because, you know, maybe someone hears this and says, like, the Cavs are better than the Nuggets, which I think is a really, like, the Nuggets have the best player probably in Jokic, but I think it's probably fair, like, the Cavs are probably better than the Nuggets. The reason why the Cavs are lower on the odds board than, like, the Nuggets, the Mavericks, and the Cavs are definitely better than the Wolves right now. Like, I don't think there's any question about that. The reason why the Cavs are lower than these teams is because the Celtics play in the East. And the thought is that the Celtics are definitely the best team, like the defending champion, and should roll out of bed and win close to 60 games this year. They're 10-3 to start the year. Cleveland's obviously 13-0. I think the thought is that, like, no one's beating Boston, so the East teams are going to get knocked down a notch because of that, because the competition in the West is easier. I think if you put Cleveland in the West, I still think Cleveland would be behind Oklahoma City right now, but I think Cleveland would probably be the second choice in the West right now to get to the NBA Finals. But in the East, like, I think this is just kind of how it has to be.
All right, let's talk about the Browns and the Saints. We might be the only three people talking about it in the gambling world, but you tell me.
Oh, that's not true.
That's not true at all. Okay, well, good. Why are they talking about it?
This is a really, really interesting point spread movement in this game. So New Orleans has the big performance on Sunday, right? Beats the Atlanta Falcons, first game without fired head coach Dennis Allen.
Right.
They beat the Falcons, and the Browns coming off the bye and going into the bye had that awful loss against the Chargers. I bet the Browns in that game. Bad job by me. The Saints open almost a 3-point home favorite, like 2.5, like a juice 2.5 towards New Orleans. And I see this on Sunday night, and I'm thinking, like, wow, please let a 3 appear so I can bet Browns plus 3. Well, not only did that not happen, but I can tell you, because, like, we had a couple on our show and I talked to people that, like, bet professionally and, like, have influence and, like, can move the betting market. Like, the Browns are now favored in this game. Like, the Browns are a 1-point favorite now. And I think a lot of people looked at that point spread and said, not only should the Saints, like, not be a 3-point favorite, but the Browns should actually be favored in the game. So right now, again, at BetMGM, Cleveland is the favorite in this game on the road at New Orleans. Now, I don't know if I can get there where the Browns should be favored. Like, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I guess if you, like, made me pick the winner of the game, I would bet New Orleans if the game's a pick 'em because the Saints are at home. My betting advice for this game would be, though, either team goes to 1.5, and I'm going to try not to make this complicated. Like, to tease the team that's a 1.5 point or more underdog to get them over a touchdown. So a 6-point tease, right? 1.5 up to 7.5, where if the game is close, like, you win. And I think that one way or another, this game will be close on Sunday. So when the game opened, I was going to bet the Browns. Now that the Browns are favored, I would only consider betting the Saints. I think the margin is, like, razor thin in this game on Sunday.
What's Jameis Winston do for the Browns in the eyes of the betting public moving forward?
Well, I think it's an upgrade over Deshaun Watson for sure. Like, big time upgrade over Deshaun Watson and what Watson was doing. And I think he makes the Browns, like, the Browns are not a good team with Jameis Winston, but they're definitely not rated as a bad team. Like, New Orleans with Derek Carr back, without Carr, they're an absolute train wreck, right? With Carr, they're probably a below average team in the NFL. They're not, like, one of the worst teams in the league when Derek Carr is playing. And think about this, right? New Orleans has, in the Superdome, one of the best home field advantages. Like, it's a crazy home field advantage in New Orleans. The fact that the Browns are road favorites in New Orleans, and think about this again, not every home field advantage is great, like New Orleans has. Like, this says that the betting market is, like, rating the Browns as, like an average team or, like, slightly below average team. There aren't that many really good teams. So it's a huge upgrade for Cleveland with Jameis Winston as the quarterback. Now, like, to be like in their own division, the Browns are still not rated as highly as the Bengals, the Ravens, or the Steelers. They're not as rated as highly as some like the Miami Dolphins, who are in the mix for a wild card spot in the AFC. Not in the same range as the Chargers, obviously, who are in the mix for a wild card spot. So I'm not saying the market's rating Cleveland like a playoff team, but I think they're being rated as like just below that right now. And again, think about what it was when Watson was the quarterback, when they're one of the worst teams in the league. So I actually think Jameis is a sizable upgrade for Cleveland.
Nick? Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
You got it. Wishing you guys minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck.
That was the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Kostos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Betting community likes the Browns better with Jameis Winston, and Nick's personal opinion, they're just a much better team with Jameis at quarterback than they are with Deshaun Watson.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I do.
I agree too.
I do.
I wonder how many of our listeners agree.
I don't know. And you know what I wonder more so though, Andy? Hmm. Is what does that mean?
Well, I'll tell you who didn't agree with us. Kevin Stefanski.
Well,
the week going into Deshaun getting hurt.
He didn't agree before Jameis played. Now, not that Jameis has been, you know, stellar. I love that word, by the way. I don't know that Jameis.
It's very you. It fits you.
I don't know that Jameis has been stellar.
It's a good color for you.
I do know he was really good against Baltimore, and he wasn't as good against the Chargers. And I think the real Jameis is probably somewhere in between.
Well, I think you have to look at the defenses he was going up against.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the point. And I wonder, okay, what's he look like the rest of the way? And I also think, what does he look like the rest of the way, and what does that mean for the future? What does that mean for the future?
I see, you know, we've had this conversation a little bit before, and I see where there is validity to watching him start every game for the rest of the season. If you don't think Deshaun's back next year, you need to have auditions for quarterback. I don't think that that's a silly concept at all. And you would think that, you know, he stands to have the best opportunity to do that next year, especially if Deshaun isn't able to play. If Deshaun is able to play, I know there are people saying he will never take another snap for this team. When I hear that he is not taking snaps this year, I'll believe it.
Yeah.
Again, there's too much invested in him to not give him another chance. Sorry, I know you don't want to hear it. I'm not saying that I agree with it. I just understand how these things work, and it's just the investment that the front office made, not only from a draft stock standpoint or from a fiscal standpoint or just, you know, from a, hey, we want to give this another chance to see if we can work because we've invested and put a lot of the team's resources into this one guy, and we're going to let this thing, you know, play out as long as it possibly can. So I do think that Jameis right now has the best opportunity to be the starting quarterback next year. I agree. And it's funny, repeat that. Jameis has the best opportunity right now, given the health concerns of Deshaun Watson, to be the starting quarterback next year should they decide to sign him.
Interesting.
So did you want me to say I was agreeing with you? Did you want to take a victory lap?
No, because I don't know that that's the truth. What I think is I'd like to find out if he could be. You know, if he plays well the rest of the way, why not?
Jeff, if he's the guy calling Hike on Sunday, he's got the best chance to be the starting quarterback.
Okay. Honestly,
he's on an audition.
Is he?
I don't know if they can afford. I don't. What's he going to garner financially next year?
That's another question. He's not Joe Flacco. And I say that from this standpoint, though I think they have very similar styles as a quarterback, he's not 39. And because of that, I think it's a different story. And I also think it's a different story because of the way Deshaun played this year. You know, he had every opportunity to just erase all doubts, and he didn't do that. And because of Jameis's age and the way that he's played in two games, let's see what happens the rest of the way. Obviously, if it, you know, if it doesn't go well, then they're looking for somebody. And though, Andy, we've been looking for somebody for a long time, and when they've had two guys that you thought were the guy, they turned out not to be the guy. And I say that in Baker and in Deshaun, because I don't think Deshaun's the guy. But it makes me think this. Your team is good enough right now, and I don't think it's great. I think the rest of the roster is good enough that if you have competent quarterback play, you can compete. And I think that Jameis, based on what happens the rest of the way, might be a legit option for next year while you look for a younger guy who you can develop.
So let me ask you this. If they bring him back for another season, if he runs the table, okay, I'm just throwing the ultimate out there.
Yeah,
how are you going to turn away from him?
I don't know.
You can't.
And to do that with Flacco, okay, I get it, because he was 39.
He had the playoff game also.
And he had the playoff game, but Joe played really well here. Colts signed him. Nobody else did. Nobody else jumped all over him. And the Colts have just benched him. Okay, he did okay for the Colts. I think his record was 2-3 as a starter. Mm-hmm. And they saw enough of old Joe Flacco to, and I say old as in the guy who was also a little interception prone, like Jameis. And they decided to go back to Anthony Richardson, which is not a bad idea. And so I get that. But, man, if you've got a 30 or so-year-old guy who comes out and plays like Flacco did last year or something that resembles that, I think it's something you really got to think about for next year. Jeff in Cleveland is with us. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for taking my call. We've gotten so caught up into quarterbacks because of Deshaun Watson. That's all we talk about now is quarterback. What about another position that's lacking in the backfield? And that's a running back with speed. But we had a running back that can get through those gaps and holes before they shut. Someone with speed. That would help any quarterback.
Jeff, I would agree with you. You want a perfect example of that? Take a look at the Baltimore Ravens. They've got a young guy, Keaton Mitchell, who's coming back from a torn ACL, who last year really looked good. You know, he came on as a rookie and had that explosive speed that helped them. He complimented Justice Hill real nicely. And what did they do? They brought in Derrick Henry. I mean, that's beautiful, isn't it?
Derrick Henry is not a bad back. He's just got a little older.
He's a phenomenal back. He's still a phenomenal back. So, Jeff, I agree with you. There are other positions on this team that need to be punched up, and they will be. And hopefully Nick Chubb takes care of that running back situation. But, you know, we'll see. He's just back from his injury, and I don't think you get a real clear look at Nick until next season, and I hope he's here for that. Anthony is in Elyria, home of those Pioneers. What's up, Anthony?
How you doing there?
Good.
I wish they still played good like they did in the late 80s when they were 10-0 with 7 shutouts, but that's another story. But the reason why I called, I know everybody's all up in arms about this whole Deshaun Watson thing, and I watch all these different shows and hosts, and everyone's telling me he's done, but here's what I'm probably in the minority on this. I truly believe in my heart that guy can still play football. I just can't see him being that young, just and as good as he was. Because remember, there was a time he was in the top 5, might have been in the top 3. He just – and some guys fall off the cliff. I just can't see this guy just not – like just forgetting how to play, you know, upper echelon quarterback in the NFL. It has to be mental with all of his personal baggage. And, you know, that's his fault. He brought that upon himself. But also maybe the system wasn't good for him either. But whatever it is – I'm hoping the guy comes back, and I hope he plays well. We give him a shot, and I hope he plays well, and then does what we brought him here to do. And also, one more thing: everybody wants to put down Andrew Berry for bringing him in. But here's the thing about it: before all this stuff happened, that's a brilliant move. If you can go out and get a top 5 quarterback, you know. So even though it didn't work out, but now they're saying that was a horrible, you know, his talent evaluation is not that good. I bet you any general manager, other than the guy from Kansas City or maybe the guy from Buffalo with Josh Allen or the guy with the Bengals with Burrow or the guy from Baltimore with Lamar Jackson, would have made the same move. What do you think?
I don't think there are that many teams that would have made the same move, Anthony, but I think there are plenty that would have. And what I I think you're right. What happened here is that Deshaun didn't play as well as he played in Houston. I mean, it's that simple. Because if he had been that same guy, then it's all taken care of, right? You gave up a ton, but you got your guy. Well, yeah, you gave up a ton, and you got a guy who's not even a reasonable facsimile to that guy.
Yeah, and here's the thing is, we saw glimpses of him still having that talent. It's just, for whatever reason, he couldn't put it together, and I think it was more mental than anything, not physical, even with the injuries. But just, I just hope he comes back, and I hope this guy plays the way he was supposed to play and just give us what we need. So I just want to make that point.
All right, Anthony, thank you very much. I'm curious, Andy, and you have two young guys here as quarterbacks as well, along with Jameis Winston. In Dorian Thompson-Robinson and in Bailey Zappe, who, gosh, if we see Bailey Zappe on the field this year, things probably went terribly wrong, didn't they? Nothing against Bailey, but
or injury.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. It's either an injury or, you know, the play has been horrendous. I'm hard pressed to think. Let's just say Jameis plays fairly well, and they think they want to bring him back. And that would mean, I would think that Jameis doesn't come back here unless you're dispatching Deshaun. I would think, I don't know. If Jameis plays pretty well, he's going to get an opportunity somewhere else. And I would think at this point in his career, if he agrees to go be a backup somewhere again, well, then he's labeled himself as a career backup. If he doesn't play well here the rest of the way, then that might be what he is. But if he plays well and gets that opportunity to be a starter, and the Browns don't guarantee him that, I wouldn't stay. Why would you stay? You want to make as much money as you can. You want to play.
Absolutely.
So I would, and he still could perhaps have 8-9 years ahead of him. You never know. So I would, if I'm him, I'm going to try and be a starter next year, wherever it is I go. But that makes me wonder, you know, are either one of these young guys candidates to be the franchise guy? And franchise, I hate that word to describe a quarterback. Let's just go starting quarterback. Who's a franchise quarterback? There are very few of those.
Right.
But I wonder, you know, are you going to develop one? What are you going to do? I honestly, it's one of the most intriguing storylines that this team has had in a while. Because, meaning, you got this guy sitting here who's supposed to be that guy. He hasn't played like it, and he's hurt. You got this other guy who one team thought was their guy, and then turns out he's not because they go get Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to New Orleans, play fairly well after you sit there and pay your dues for a year behind Drew Brees, then you don't get that gig.
Right.
Now you're here, you're playing, you're the guy, and then what does this team do?
So, you know? Dan, let me ask you a quick question here, just because, and I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, and it's just because you follow this stuff a little bit more than I think we do. Let's just say Jameis Winston, I'll go back to my original, you know, hypothetical premise. So let's say Jameis Winston looks amazing for the rest of the year.
Sweet.
And he runs off 7 out of 8, okay? And it's like, well, why wouldn't we bring this guy back? Fiscally, can they?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The question that they are going to have to figure out is what they want to do with Deshaun Watson's contract. If they want to compete, they will keep him on the roster and continue to yank the lever. If they want to tear this thing down, they will keep him on the roster and or cut him and not yank the lever to turn his salary into a signing bonus. So can they? Yes. The question is, what do they want to do? You have the ability to do pretty much, you will have some level of wiggle room. You can do a lot of different things with this roster. It's just the mere question of what do you do with Deshaun Watson? Do you turn it into a signing bonus so you don't take the cap hit so you can get more guys in here? Or do you just take the cap hit because you don't want to pay it off longer? It's kicking the can down the road. So can they?
Stunning. Yes. Stunning they're in this situation. And stunning they've had him for 3 years and he's not played more than 7 games in a season.
Daryl!
Is our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, from It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. And he's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, D.
Hi, Daryl.
What's happening, guys?
Nothing. We're just we're getting ready. Browns against the Saints. Ken Dorsey spoke. He's taking Jameis Winston back to where Jameis Winston kind of went for a graduate degree in how to play quarterback from Sean Payton, but never really got the chance to really play quarterback there. Well, what are you thinking about Jameis here in start number 3, where he's either not going against the worst pass defense in the NFL or the best points allowed defense in the NFL?
Well,
one thing the Saints do a lot of is come away with interceptions. So that'll be something to watch for on Sunday, because Jameis Winston's history is what? Throwing a lot of interceptions. And he's coming off a game in which he threw three interceptions. So in that 27-10 loss to the Chargers. So I think that's a little bit of an interesting dynamic. And that's why some of the conversation yesterday with Jameis was kind of, you know, about that decision-making process and whatnot. And even with, you know, Ken Dorsey today, who said that just have to, you know, trust what you're seeing, trust your reads, and go with it, as opposed to trying to do too much and making a play where maybe there just isn't a play to be made.
All right, so let me kind of go back to what we were talking about last segment. Is this an audition for Jameis Winston over the next eight games? Is it an audition for next season?
I think so. Why wouldn't it be, right? I mean, what are your options aren't that great. So if he's able to play well here down the stretch, you know, it gives you an opportunity to potentially bring him back and be your stopgap. Because that's what they're going to need. They've got to find a stopgap quarterback until they can figure out whatever their next steps are going to be once they, you know, decide to eject themselves from the monumental disaster that is Deshaun Watson's contract. So, if Winston can play well, yeah, I think that, you know, I think it's fair to call it an audition. I don't think the Browns would characterize it that way. I certainly don't think that Jameis would characterize it that way, but I would, because, yeah, if he plays well, yeah, I kind of feel like you got to re-sign him, right?
Right.
Daryl, I couldn't agree with you more. I because if he plays well, and, you know, Flacco played well last year. Joe's 39. Yeah. Okay, and you thought Deshaun was going to come back and build on what he did last year when he went, 4-1 in the games that he finished. And you thought, okay, he can build on that. He showed us this year that he probably is not that guy. And Jameis isn't 39. And I if he plays well, how do you walk away from a guy who played well 2 years in a row?
Yeah, I mean, age is certainly a mitigating factor here.
Sure. Absolutely.
You kind of feel like that the Browns were able to squeeze that last ounce of really good football out of Joe Flacco, right? So, like, with Jameis, I feel like he has some football left. I don't know that he is a franchise starting quarterback anymore type thing. You know what I mean? Like, where you're committing to a guy for 5 years and whatever, right? I don't think he's that guy, but I do think he's a guy that can hold down the fort for a season or two. You know, just kind of be a bridge. And I mean, that's what the Browns need to find right now. I think one of the mistakes that these franchises make, and this is league-wide, this isn't a Browns thing, this is just around the NFL. I think one of the massive mistakes they make is the lack of development and lack of patience they have with their young quarterbacks. They don't develop them correctly.
Rushing them onto the field.
Yeah, you're rushing them onto the field right away. The moment there's, if they don't win the starting job right out of the gate or whatever, right, and they put the bridge quarterback on the field, the moment that there's a problem, we're going to put the rookie on the field because he's going to solve all the problems. Like, what makes you think putting a rookie quarterback out there is going to solve all your problems that you're having?
Yeah.
And that goes into the team building thing now, and this model of the NFL. And the Kansas City Chiefs were a prime example of this until, obviously, now Patrick Mahomes is into the second half of his second contract there, and they're still winning Super Bowls. But we saw this in Baltimore, like there was a rush to try and win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson on the rookie contract, right? Joe Burrow with the Bengals trying to win a Super Bowl with Joe Burrow on his rookie. You know, these teams are trying to win or compete for Super Bowls with the quarterbacks on the rookie contracts, because then they can splurge in other areas of the roster, right? They're not having to deal with a massive quarterback contract. It's one of many areas the Browns have gone wrong over the last 25 years They've never been able to compete with, on a consistent level with a quarterback on a rookie contract. They came close with the Baker thing. Like, that's as close as they have come to, like, pulling that philosophy off. But there's just a very, rush to, expect that these young quarterbacks, every young quarterback come in the league, that they're just going to have immediate success. And that, you know, that kind of stuff takes time. So I hope the Browns can be in a position where, yeah, okay, they're at some point, yes, they're going to draft the quarterback that they think could be their quarterback. Right. And if that actually happens, that'll be a first. But once it hopefully they have a guy that is good enough in place to kind of run the show until that kid is ready to play and ready to win. Maybe Jameis Winston can be that guy. I don't know. But, you know, if he gets this opportunity here and he's able to stay healthy down the stretch and they don't get the itch to put Dorian Thompson-Robinson on the field for a couple of weeks, you know, we could have an answer for that.
Daryl Ryder joining us. He's our Browns beat reporter. After the Baltimore game, I thought it was hysterical. Joel Bitonio was asked about Jameis in the locker room, and somebody asked him, it was about, you know, his messages and the way he speaks to the team, and what did he say before the game? And Joel said, he kind of downplayed it, goes, yeah, it's Jameis, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, it was kind of out there a little bit. We've all heard him in his press conferences, Daryl. That sums it up pretty well. How do you think that plays in the locker room?
I think as long as you're playing well and you win, it's fine. If you don't play well and you don't win, it'll grow old quickly.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think right now it's fine. It's still novel or whatever. But here's the thing. He's doing that stuff when Deshaun was the quarterback because Deshaun don't do it. Like, yeah. your real leader on offense was your backup quarterback, and that's a problem. And again, goes to the bad job that Andrew Berry in the front office did when it comes to the research of Deshaun Watson. Like, Jameis Winston's giving the pregame speeches, and Deshaun's the starting quarterback. Like, that's the dumbest thing ever. If there's a case to be made to fire Andrew Berry, it's because of Deshaun Watson. There's a billion other reasons to fire Andrew Berry, but Deshaun Watson certainly is at the top of the list. Their vetting of that particular player was not as good as they said it was. And it's clear as a bell. But, I think right now with Jameis and the speeches and the energy that he brings, like, it's fine now, but, like, it is on him to go out there, perform, play well, because if he goes out there and he's just, throwing picks all over the yard, at some point someone's going to walk up to him and say, dude, will you just shut up already? You know what I'm saying? That's just the nature of the business, but that's not happening right now because, again, he did beat the Ravens, had a hiccup against the Chargers, and we'll see what he's able to do against the Saints.
Daryl, what wide receiver, not named Cedric Tillman, do you expect to have a bigger second half?
Cedric Tillman.
Outside of Cedric Tillman. You know, when I set a rule down, and it's always game in Cleveland, it's always game day in Cleveland, you abide by the rules.
Did I just ignore it?
You the rule of this question. The rule is, what wide receiver will stand out outside of Cedric Tillman here in the second half?
You look at the distribution in the pre-bye week there, it's kind of bunched together. Elijah Moore, Jerry Jeudy, David Njoku, they're all around the 30 catch mark there. Sed is up to 24, which is as many passes as Amari caught in this year. He's really come on the last couple of weeks, but I don't think that this is not an offense predicated on just one guy. I think that there's going to be a continued focus on balanced distribution of the football. So the first thing I'd like to see is them to have a play go for over 40 yards. We've not seen that this year. That would be nice to see on Sunday. But I feel like getting Elijah Moore going, getting Jerry Jeudy going, I think that's really, really important. More so Jeudy, because Judy's the guy that you gave the contract extension to and you're committed to him. Like, I think it's really important that they get some explosive plays from Jerry Jeudy at some point here.
Daryl, got about 30 seconds. You think Cedric Tillman's the real deal?
I asked Ken Dorsey about that, like, not in that way, but, like, just the sample size here, recent history is really good, right?
Right.
He's had a hot couple of weeks. I hope so. But we've seen that, right, where we've had, you know, flashes in the pan. Like Donovan Peoples-Jones comes to mind. He had that one good year, and then that was it, right?
Correct.
So, but what Dorsey said was interesting. He's playing to his size. He's playing to his skill set. And if he continues to do that, then the sky's the limit for him. So I do agree with Dorsey in that assessment. If he keeps doing what he's doing, then yeah, absolutely. My question is, can he keep doing what he's doing?
A pleasure, sir. Thank you.
You bet, guys.
Thanks, Daryl.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. And, of course, you can hear him in the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast with somebody that I just know and love.
Click, click, click.
That would be you.
Ding.
You heard what Daryl said about Jameis. It gets interesting. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.